St. Petersburg. It's early February 1992, and an official car from the city administration is slowly driving down the main street of the city. A grey slush has been partially swept from the pavements, and people are trudging through the cold in thick anonymous coats, laden with bags and hunched against the wind. Behind the fading facades of the once grand houses on Nevsky Prospect, shops stand almost empty, their shelves practically bare in the aftershocks of the Soviet Union's sudden implosion. It's barely 6 weeks since the Soviet Union ceased to exist, since the fateful day when Russia's President Boris Yeltsin and the leaders of the other Soviet republics signed their union out of existence with the stroke of a pen. The city's food distributors are struggling to react to rapid change as the strict Soviet regulations that for decades controlled supply chains and fixed prices had suddenly ceased to exist. In the bus queues and at the impromptu markets that have sprung up across the city as inhabitants seek to earn cash selling shoes and other items from their homes, the talk all winter has been of food shortages, ration cards and gloom. Making matters worse, hyperinflation is ravaging savings. Some have even warned of famine, sounding alarm bells across a city still gripped by memories of the Second World War blockade, when up to 1,000 people starved to death every day. But the city official behind the wheel of the black Volga sedan looks calm. The slight, resolute figure gazing intently ahead is Vladimir Putin. He's 39, deputy mayor of St. Petersburg and the recently appointed head of the city's Foreign Relations Committee. The scene is being filmed for a series of documentaries on the city's new administration. And this one centres on the youthful-looking deputy mayor, whose responsibilities include ensuring adequate imports of food. As the footage flickers back to his office in City Hall at Smolny, Putin reels off a string of figures on the tons of grain and humanitarian aid being shipped in from Germany, England and France. "There is no need for worry," he says. Nearly 10 minutes is spent on careful explanations of the measures his committee has taken to secure emergency supplies of food, including a groundbreaking deal for £20 million worth of livestock grain, secured during a meeting between the city's mayor, Anatoly Zhobchak, and British Prime Minister John Major. Without this act of generosity from the UK, the region's young livestock would not have survived, he says. His command of detail is impressive. So too is his grasp of the vast problems facing the city's economy. He speaks with fluency of the need to develop a class of small and medium business owners as the backbone of the new market economy. Indeed, he says, the entrepreneurial class should become the basis for the flourishing of our society as a whole. He speaks with precision on the problems of converting the region's vast Soviet-era defence enterprises to civilian production in order to keep them alive. Sprawling plants like the Kirovsky Zavod, a vast artillery and tank producer in the south of the city, had been the region's main employer since Tsarist times. Now they were at a standstill, as the endless orders for military hardware that fueled and eventually bankrupted the Soviet economy had suddenly dried up. "We have to bring in Western partners and integrate the plants into the global economy," says the young city official. With sudden intensity, he speaks of the harm communism wrought in artificially cutting off the Soviet Union from the free market relations linking the rest of the developed world. "The credos of Marx and Lenin brought colossal losses to our country," he says. "There was a period of my life when I studied the theories of Marxism and Leninism, and I found them interesting and, like many of us, logical. But as I grew up, the truth became ever more clear to me. These theories are no more than harmful fairy tales." Indeed, the Bolshevik revolutionaries of 1917 were responsible for the tragedy we are experiencing today, the tragedy of the collapse of our state, he boldly tells the interviewer. "They cut the country up into republics that did not exist before and then destroyed what unites the people of civilized countries. They destroyed market relations." It is just a few months since his appointment as deputy mayor of St. Petersburg, but already it is a powerful, carefully crafted performance. He sits casually straddling a chair backwards, but everything else points to precision and preparation. The 50-minute film shows him on the judo mat, flipping opponents over his shoulder, speaking fluent German with a visiting businessman, and taking calls from Sobchak about the latest foreign aid deals. His meticulous preparation extends to the man he specifically requested to conduct the interview and direct the film, a documentary filmmaker known and loved across the Soviet Union for a series he made intimately charting the lives of a group of children, a Soviet version of the popular UK television series 7-Up. Igor Shadkan is a Jew who recently returned to St. Petersburg from making a series of films on the horrors of the Soviet Gulag in the far north, a man who still flinches at the memory of anti-Semitic slurs from Soviet times, and who, by his own admittance, still ducks his head in fear whenever he passes the former headquarters of the KGB.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.